That's right. Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 116, verses 4 through 7. Hear these words. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Does anybody know where they were on May 23rd, 1992? That was our wedding day. I was hoping you'd raise your hand. Derby Woodlawn Church, Derby, Kansas. Jan and I were getting married. And it was a simple ceremony. We did some unique things. We both had both of our parents give us away and walk down the aisle. We both wrote songs for each other and had a friend of ours perform them, and we heard them for the first time. And when it came to that time in the service, we exchanged vows that we had written for each other. And we were kind of dorky college students when we wrote those vows. And we laughed for years about how we inserted the word cosmic into our vows. I don't even know the context, but the cosmic love for each other, you know. And then one year we watched the videotape of our service. We didn't watch it a lot because the person that made it was really dorky. They would put like 30 seconds of the service, and they would have drawn some picture and then had some Casio music underneath it, and it was ridiculous. But we watched the service, and we listened to our vows, and guess what? No cosmic. We thought for years we had cosmic in our vows, and we didn't. You know what our vows did say? I have no idea. I don't remember. I don't know. Anybody else write their own vows? Well, we didn't hold on to that. We didn't remember, which is kind of a shame because when you make a vow, you want to remember it. Other types of vows. Anybody ever testify in court and put their hand on the Bible? A couple people. Yeah, you're not required anymore to put your hand on the Bible, but you can choose to. And that's making a vow to tell the truth. I always thought that was kind of weird because if you were coming into court planning to lie, why wouldn't you lie about it on the Bible? So anyway, that's another vow that people sometimes choose to keep and sometimes don't. I made a vow of silence one time. I know. Me. I went to a Trappist monastery when I was in seminary for a week, and the Trappists are hardcore monks. They live in silence, almost never speak, and we were instructed to do the same thing. And we were even to eat our meals in silence. At the end of the week, by the way, I could only talk in a whisper because I was so used to it being quiet. One night at dinner, early on in the week, we were eating in silence, and our group leader was out of the room, and there was a guy over next to me, and he was clearly having a hard time. And we're eating, and suddenly he busts out, and he says, I wonder what's on must-see TV tonight. I don't even know what was on must-see TV. Anybody remember must-see TV? Friends. Okay, well, that's Friends in honor of Matthew Perry. That's a hard vow to keep. We don't make a lot of vows in our lives, but if you're a member of this church, you did make a vow. And that it came when you joined the church. Basically, you made a commitment to the church. And it says, will you support the church, the ministries of the church, with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Those five things. And you said, I do. Because if you didn't, no membership. And then what? You make that vow, and then what? I'll tell you what. The pastor talks about it during stewardship month. And that's it. What does it even mean to keep those five things? Well, it depends on what kind of a church you go to. There are a few different kinds of churches. There are high expectation churches, and there are low expectation churches. Where do you think we fall in that? I'd say right about here in that middle. We're kind of in the middle. We have some expectations. But I want to give you an example of what high expectations, a high expectation church would be like with those five things. So prayer. In a high expectation church, it means you're praying all the time. Pray in the morning, pray at night, pray before your meals, pray for people in the church, pray for the world, even be part of a prayer group that gets together and prays. That's a high expectation church. Then there's presence. Presence in a high expectation church means you're in church every Sunday, unless you're sick. And if you don't show up for 3 weeks in a row, you get a phone call. Now, that if that doesn't keep you from checking your phone, I don't know what would. Okay, gifts. In a high expectation church, you're expected to tithe. That's 10% of your income. And if you're not tithing, you're moving towards a tithe. There's biblical foundation for giving 10% of your income. And then there's service. In a high expectation church, service means you're using your gifts for ministry in some way, being part of a mission project or serving on a committee, those kinds of things. You'd probably be expected to serve on two things in a year. And then the last one is witness. Witness would be you invite at least two people to church in a year. That would be a high expectation. You know what's interesting? When they do polls of people and talk about high expectation or low expectation churches, people prefer high expectation churches. Isn't that interesting? Let me go through those again and share what that would be like at Grace if we were a high expectation church. All right, so prayer, you would know that there are people in this church that are praying for you every week. You might be part of a group, a Sunday school class or another group that prays together. You might even, God forbid, lead a prayer out loud. Something that some of us are scared to death of doing. That prayer would be infused in everything we do. Presence. Well, it used to be people came to church every Sunday, but now it's kind of, then it was like people come to church every four Sundays. Now it's every six Sundays. We've kind of gotten away from regularly attending church, but if we were a high expectation church, this room would be full every Sunday, and so would the other services. Everybody would be coming, and it wouldn't just be for worship. It would be serving on teams and serving on other things, being a part of the church and present. That would be high expectation. Gifts. Everybody would be given the best that they could. Everybody would pledge and give considerably of their money and maybe moving towards a tithe. We would have more money as a church than ever before. We could launch new ministries, new outreaches. We could do all kinds of things. And then there's service. If we were a high expectation church, we'd be doubling the amount of mission trips we took. We'd be adding more ministries and mission ministries than just Center of Grace. We'd be reaching out to the community in all these amazing ways because we'd all want to serve. And then witness. If we were a high expectation church, then we would have what I like to call contagious excitement. That's my favorite phrase, contagious excitement, where we were so excited about what was happening as a church that we couldn't stop talking about it. We'd want to invite people. We'd want to. It wouldn't be a burden. We just, bursting at the seams with joy of what's happening at the church, and we want people to be a part of it. It would be natural for us to witness. Doesn't that sound good? There's a problem. You pretty much can't turn a low expectation church into a high expectation church. Once you're established and you're at a low or medium expectation church, it is next to impossible for that church to switch its focus, dig down deep, and become a high expectation church, because people get in their DNA the level of commitment they have for a church. You know what churches do high expectation and work? New church starts. That's where you see a high expectation church functioning. A new church starts and says, this is what we expect if you're going to be a member, and so it builds that way. Actually, Church of the Resurrection started as a high expectation church, and, you know, they probably dropped a little bit, but they're still pretty far up there. So it's a challenge for us to think about being like that and using our prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. We could try. I mean, we could take a vote and say, yeah, let's do it. And I'd actually like to. I think I would like to be part of a church like that, at least have those as goals that we're moving toward. Let me say, if the high expectation church model appealed to you, there is nothing stopping you from doing it on your own. Or as a group, a Sunday school class could say, let's hold each other accountable to that level of expectation. It's not a bad goal. I mean, that is living as generously as God has been generous to you. That's that defying gravity of the worldly things and reaching out fully to God. Now, Psalm 116 that I read, it describes somebody who's in trouble and hurting. Remember, it says, oh, Lord, save my life. Have you ever been there? That's tough. And then they experience God's grace. If you were here last week, we talked about the means of grace, the ways we can put ourselves in the position to receive grace. And then what happens is their life turns around. They say, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Bountifully. Think about that word. It's an adverb that means large in quantity or giving generously. And it's often used to describe something that is abundant, plentiful, or generous. We're not talking about a nice little gift from God. We're talking about the best gift ever. You familiar with the phrase, the Lord loves a cheerful giver? That comes out of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9 through 7. Wouldn't it be great if we could be in a position where we were cheerful about all that we give? And that includes defying financial gravity and all the other things that threaten to take up that top spot in our lives. It's supposed to be freeing and invigorating to be generous like that. It's our enthusiastic way of saying, thank you, God. And that's where that contagious excitement comes in. So we make these vows out of overwhelming gratitude. I mean, that's how we're supposed to make them. Sometimes we just slip them into a service as we're joining. But we're experience gratitude for the unconditional love that we've received through Jesus Christ. I invite the band to come up as we wrap this up. There's another famous scripture. Do you remember this one? To whom much is given, much is required. That's from Luke. That's Jesus saying that. That's how we complete the circuit between us and God. This is how we find meaning in our lives. It's not that living up to high expectations is easy. It's a really hard thing to do. Sometimes the hard things are the most rewarding things. So this morning, you're going to have the opportunity to renew your vow to try. And we'll share in it together. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Amen.